Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Eternal God, everlasting Father, Lord, we come in your presence another time, Lord Jesus. And we give you praise because you alone are God, and you will not share your glory with another. So we glorify your holy name, and we lift you up and exalt your name high above the heavens. As we are about to get into your word, may your spirit come and take over, take full control, have your way, and do what only you can do. Have your mighty way in me, and have your mighty way in this message, and also have your mighty way in whosoever will hear this message. May your words go forth with power and might. May it break and shatter every stronghold, every attack of the enemy that he has over your people. May your word wash and bring forth cleansing from your word, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, that you may take control over our minds, over our hearts, over our soul, my Jesus. Remove the stone that is our heart and give us fertile hearts, my Father, that your seeds which are going to be planted now will fall on fertile soil, Lord God, and that fruits, bountiful fruits, may bring forth from this seed, Lord God. May your will be done in our lives, Lord Jesus. We glorify your holy name, and we bless you forever. In your mighty name I pray, amen. Welcome, beloved saints of God. Welcome to today's message. And the topic for today's message is, when God is silent. Yes, when God is silent. And we know that God oftentimes is silent. It is not something that we like, but who are we? You know, we are his children. He is the Father. There are times when he likes to keep quiet. So there are times, even throughout the Bible, when we notice that God is silent. Even in the book of Malachi, the last chapter of Malachi, going on to the book of Matthew, you can see that there are blank pages there in the Bible, and it says that God was silent for 40 years, I guess. I think 40 years. And so 400, I'm not sure if it's 400 or 40, but I think it's 40 years that God didn't speak. So it's actually 400 years no one heard from God. And so today I want to speak about when God is silent. And I know that most of us, when we are going through a particular season, that God is silent in our lives. He doesn't speak. Just like when I did that topic on unanswered prayers, God is silent. Most of the time he's not speaking. And we, through his word and through the nudging of his Holy Spirit, we need to know what God is saying when he is silent. Because even though he is silent, he is actually speaking. And most times when he is silent, he is behind the scenes working mightily. So today we are going to be looking at Genesis 37. And as I was reading this, I was blown away. I was blown away, saints of God, of all God kept silent and how he was working. Now, this has to do with Jacob and his sons, right? So we know that Jacob is very important to God. God even referred to him as his firstborn. When Moses went to Pharaoh, the first thing that Moses said to Pharaoh was, "Thus saith the Lord, let my people go. Israel is my firstborn. And if you won't let my firstborn go, I will also destroy and with death your firstborn." So we know that Jacob's name was changed to Israel because he wrestled with God. And we know that Jacob was a very powerful man. God loved him even from the womb. Ekoya. We know that he was the second born, right? And that he stole the birthright from Esau, but in fact he didn't, saints of God, because God named him the heir from he was in the womb, because God spoke to his mother and said that the older one would serve the younger one. And we know that Jacob was the second one, but the inheritance was given to Jacob from he was in his womb. So everything that occurred with his mother, you know, tricking his father to give him his brother's birthright, that was just, you know, something that happened, you know, God allowed to happen, because in fact Jacob from the womb was destined to be the heir, right? So we know that God loved Jacob because he referred to Jacob, Israel, as his firstborn. And we know that he all of his journey, when he left after he stole the birthright, you know, he flee because his brother was after him for it to take his life. We know he left, he went and he served Laban for how many years to receive his wife and all those things. And he said that, you know, when he went to live with to seek refuge with Laban, and he said, you know, God spoke to him. He had a dream, a vision of a ladder where angels were ascending and descending on it, and he said, "Truly, this is the place of God," right? And he made an altar there, right? And so when he made an altar, he said, even though he is where he is going, he doesn't have anything with him, just clothes on his back. I'm paraphrasing. But he said, "If I come back to this place with everything, you know, low goods, right? And I will remember and I will serve this God." And so God let it happen that he went, as he was leaving, he had wives, children, herds of cattle, because the Lord God has blessed him. And so we know that Jacob was a very, very important man, and God loved him because God referred to him as his firstborn. Now we had his sons, Joseph, and you know what happened to Joseph. So I want to speak about what took place with Joseph and how, even though God spoke with him, God appeared to him. He wrestled with God. Even those times when he was suffering, God was silent, right? So we want to look at that today. So we're going to go to Genesis 37 verses 31, right? Listen. And verse 31 says, "And they took Joseph's coat." Now, if you know about the story of Joseph, is that Joseph was Jacob's favorite child, and his brothers hated Joseph because, you know, he was his father's favorite. And so he was the last child. And so Jacob loved him, but his brothers, they hated him. And so they planned to kill him, but they also, the plan came up that they should kill him, right? And so another plan came that they should sell him into slavery. And we know that Joseph was sold into slavery and he went to Egypt. But listen to what their brothers did. And he said they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood, which is prophetic, by the way, because we know that our Lord, the Bible describes our Messiah, that his vesture, glory to God, was dipped in blood. Hey, and we know that Joseph was like a foreshadow of our Messiah. So when they did that, you know, it is prophetic about how our Lord's vesture was dipped in blood. Right? And they sent a coat of many colors and they brought it to their fathers and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat." And he knew it, and he said, "It is my son's coat, and evil beasts hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." Right? And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted, and he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. So we see that Jacob was very hurt because he loved his son Joseph. And even though, well, it was the plan of God for Joseph not to be killed, but to be sold into slavery, God made a plan to send Joseph ahead to Egypt to save his entire family and that place, and Egypt also from famine. That was the Lord's plan. But God didn't reveal his plan to Jacob. He didn't tell him anything, saints of God. He said nothing. Even while he rent his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, that means he was fasting, he was mourning. God kept quiet. God didn't speak anything unto him. He never comforted him. He never said anything to him. And I tell you that the things that Joseph faced in Egypt was not pretty also, because Joseph was suffering. So when we see that we are suffering and God is silent, it means that he is working, because nobody could see the future but God. Nobody knew what would happen but God. Even when Joseph did everything that was right in Egypt, he got blamed. Even when he was a righteous man and everything that Joseph did became to prosper by his hands, because God blessed Joseph. But his wife, Potiphar's wife, right, said that she wanted to sleep with Joseph, and Joseph didn't give her what she wanted, and she lied on him, and he was cast into prison. Right? He was forgotten by two men whom he helped. Right? And so he was there, but he had faith in God and he never questioned God. Right? He never questioned God. Don't you think he was angry? He was frustrated. And even between Jacob and Joseph, God said nothing to them. He wasn't speaking to them. And Joseph was a man who could dream, and Jacob was a mighty man whom God spoke to. And all these times, all these years that Joseph was gone, right, God didn't speak. He said nothing to him, saints of God. And so we have to understand that when we are going through trials, this was a trial for Jacob and a trial also for Joseph. And it formed them. It formed them. It strengthened them. So when we go through trials, we like to get angry and frustrated. And when we see the mighty work that was done by God through Joseph in Egypt, you know that God, when he is silent, is working mightily. Because after Joseph, when the reason Joseph was in prison, nobody remembered him until when God ready, glory to God, when God ready, Pharaoh started having dreams and nobody could interpret those dreams for him. That's when Joseph came into importance. And so he started interpreting, and God spoke to Joseph and gave him instructions that there's going to be 7 years of famine and 7 years of fruitfulness. And so from the 7 years of fruitfulness, Joseph gathered food and all those things and saved it for the years of famine that would come, that even his family would have to come to him, right? And Jacob, he says that, let me see, Genesis 46, verses 1. All right, from Genesis 37, I read, right? So we all those chapters was when Joseph was suffering. Then we reach to verses 46. And that is when God spoke to Jacob. All throughout that chapters, all the things that took place, that is when God spoke. Right? You have to read it for yourselves. It is amazing how I tell you that it is amazing that verse 46, it says, and Israel, that is Jacob, took his journey with all that he had, and he came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto God of his father Isaac. And God spake to Israel in the vision. Now it has been years, I think, years, because Joseph was actually a grown man. And when his sons met him, realized that he was Joseph, and he was actually leaving where he was, and he went, he made sacrifices unto God, and God spoke to him in a vision. So all those years when he thought that his son was dead, when he mourned for his son, when he cried, God didn't comfort him, and God didn't told him anything about it. So when we believe that we can, when we believe that we can move the hand of God in our favor, when God decides, God is no respecter of persons. We cannot cry and ask him and move his hand. We cannot act out and move his hand. When he wants to be silent, he will be silent. Because all these mighty men in the Bible, look how great Jacob was. That he wrestled with God. He saw God face to face. God spoke with him. Yet it could move the hand of God to comfort him. To say, listen, your son is not dead. I sent him to Egypt to prepare a way for you. God didn't say that. God didn't say that. God knew in the end that Jacob would know that his son is alive. And everything that he is doing will make perfect sense. God doesn't have to speak to you for it to make sense. All he is doing his thing. He is God. He knows the end from the beginning. At the end, at the appointed time, you will know, we will know what God was doing. And so at the appointed time, Jacob knew why God sold his son into slavery. He knew why he went ahead to prepare a way for him, for his family, and for the entire Egypt. And the same place that God blessed through the hands of Joseph, he destroyed. Because he rained down plagues upon Egypt. Because when Joseph died, another Pharaoh rose up who didn't know Joseph, right? And he started to abuse the children. And the 400 years, glory to God, the day, I feel the power of the living God. The day when they left out of Egypt, it was actually 400 years that the children of Israel left Egypt. Actually 400 years. God is never behind. He is never over time. He is
always on time, saints of God. We need to know this. We need to know this because he spoke to Abraham and told him that your seed, glory to God, they will serve others for 400 years. And it came to pass that when the children of Israel left, when Pharaoh threw them out because God slew all the firstborn and they threw them out, glory to God, that it was the Bible says that it was the self same day 400 years that they left Egypt. Mighty God. So God is always on time. Even though he's silent, he is always on time. Mighty God, he is always on time, saints of God. Always, he is never late. He is never too early. Mighty God, all those times, Ebo Shaka, when he was telling Pharaoh and through Moses to let his people go, why they couldn't go? Ebo Tanashate, why couldn't Pharaoh let them go? Because the time was not fulfilled to reach the 400 years, so they couldn't go. Mighty God, they couldn't have gone before the time, because God says for 400 years. He didn't say 399. He never said 401. He said 400 years. So he never said 399. He never said 401. He said 400. Mighty God. And at the self same day, says the Bible, that the children of Israel, they left Egypt the day that it filled 400 years. I feel the power of the living God. That is when they left. And Joseph on his dying bed spoke to them and said that God will visit you and you should carry my bones with you. And that was the same thing on the on the 400th anniversary that God spoke, Moses took up the bones of Joseph and they left Egypt after the plagues. You think that Pharaoh hardened his heart? Yes, God hardened his heart. Why? Because God outstretched the time so that when the children of Israel leave, it would actually be 400 years. They couldn't have left earlier. That is the God that we have. So God chose to be silent even in the most gruesome times of our life. Even when our Lord is on the cross, he said, why have you forsaken me? Maybe in that hour he wasn't speaking. Christ couldn't feel his presence. And he cried out, why have you forsaken me? In the most gruesome times of our life, God chose to be quiet. But because he's quiet doesn't mean that he's not working. Look what he did for Jacob and Joseph and the entire Israel. Look what he did, saints of God. And all these years, don't you think Jacob prayed? Don't you think Jacob asked questions? That is what I want to talk about. Don't you think Jacob cried to the Lord? Said, Lord, why? Why was it Joseph? Why was it my son? Why all those prayers that he prayed? Like, Lord, I can't. It is so hard for me. I lost my son. How come? What? Don't you think he prayed? The Bible clearly showed you that he was mourning. Nobody could comfort him, but God didn't comfort him. God kept quiet because I know that he made prayers. I know he prayed. I know he cried, but God said nothing. God didn't comfort him. God said nothing. But when he went to meet his son, glory to God, he said, and God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here I am. And he said, I am the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. This is God speaking. And I will go down with thee unto Egypt, and I will surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Right? That is how God spoke to him after all those years.
Oh my Lord, it is so beautiful.
And it says, well, a part of it says that when Jacob was being thankful, he said that, I can't quite remember where it says that, but he said, I didn't even think that I would see my son Joseph, but God has allowed me to see even his sons, even the sons of Joseph. Right? That is so beautiful that Jacob didn't argue. He didn't say anything. All he did was say that I didn't think that I would see my son, much less my son's sons. That is showing you that how grateful he is to God, right? So we have to give God the honor and the praise always. I'm sure even Joseph, he prayed, right? He worshipped, as with Jacob. So when we say that God is silent, we have to worship him the same. And we have to bless him because he's a mighty God. He is mighty. So when you are not hearing the voice of God and you are going through a particular season, a rough, gruesome time in your life, God is working out the good. The Bible says that, you know, God will turn around every situation for the good of those who love him. So Joseph's situation was very bad. Right? He was sold into slavery. They mocked him. They troubled him. But yet it turned out for the good, not for only Joseph, but for the entire Israel. Right? The entire Israelites. So Joseph's brother, they were very scared. And they were fearful for their lives because they believed that Joseph would, you know, take revenge at them. But Joseph said, no, don't be fearful. Because God, it wasn't you. God sent me ahead to Egypt to prepare a way for you, because they had to come and bow down. And all the dreams that Joseph had when he was a child came to pass in Egypt, that even his father bowed down to him, that even his brothers, they bowed down to him, because Joseph, apart from Pharaoh, no other man was greater in Egypt than Joseph. He was great in Egypt. So God took him from his land, brought him into a stranger's land, and made him the greatest. Can you imagine the blessing of God? Right? So we have to understand that our minds, God has sheto. It says that in the Bible where it says that our ways are not God's ways. His thoughts and our thoughts are not the same. Just as how it is from as high from the earth to the heavens, that is how the ways of the Lord are higher than ours. So we, from our mere fleshly, sinful understanding, cannot understand the God who laid the foundation of the earth, the God who stretched forth the skies like a mighty curtain. We cannot understand the God who laid a balance. We cannot understand his ways, saints of God. When we try to do that, it becomes difficult, because when we are looking and see that nothing is going our way, it is actually God working our way for us, but we cannot see it. If someone had told Jacob that, you know, because your son, your children, they planned to murder him, but they sold him into Egypt, that was God's plan. Do you think that Jacob would understand that? No, he wouldn't. Even though he was a mighty man of God, he still wouldn't have understood, because he had a mind of flesh. So he couldn't understand why God was doing that. But in the end, it all made sense. It all made perfect sense. Someone had to go. Glory to God. Someone had to go. And it was Joseph that God chose to go. Someone had to go to Egypt. Someone had to be sold into slavery. Someone had to suffer. Someone had to go to prison in Egypt. right? Someone had to bear lies, right? That was Joseph. Joseph bear all those things, and he wept, he cried, he suffered all those years in Egypt, but he still loved God. That even when his brothers came and he saw them, he cried. He told everyone to get away from him, and he wept bitterly because he was hurting. But that our emotions and how it doesn't affect God. It doesn't move his hand from what God sees as his will. It was his will for him to go. So no matter how we cry, no matter how we stress, no matter how we tear off our clothes and we fuss and we shoot out our mouth and we stamp our feet and we tear out our hair, that is not going to change the hand of God. It is not. After we have done doing all of that, the Lord God will say, are you ready for my will to be done? That's it, saints of God. So when God is silent, all we have to do is praise him. He is the Father. He is great. So when he is silent, let our mouths give praises. When he is silent, let our mouth bring joyful noise unto him with songs and with psalms. And glorify him. You say, you know, Lord, I'm not hearing your voice right now. But you know what? I'm going to shout to the heavens. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to dance and I'm going to sing. And I'm going to glorify your name. So when God is silent, let us make a joyful noise unto him. All right, saints of God. May God bless you. And may this word bring forth changes in your heart. Remember to read the Bible more. Read more of the Bible. So that you can have knowledge and see the wonderful things that God has done. May God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.